Hello friends, Denny Pruto here with a lesson on God's purpose in the book of Numbers. As you can see from the whiteboard, the book of Numbers has five divisions. And as time permits, we're going to review the content of each of these parts of the book of Numbers. Numbers begins with a census of the children of Israel. And in chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, we read the following. Then the Lord spoke to Moses in the wilderness of Sinai, in the tent of meeting, on the first of the second month, in the second year after they had come out of the land of Egypt, saying, Take a census of all the congregation of the sons of Israel, by their families, by their fathers' households, according to the number of names, every male, head by head, from 20 years old and upward, whoever is able to go out to war in Israel, you and Aaron shall number them by their armies. And so the census is taken, and Israel is organized into the church militant. Israel had been organized into a covenant community at Sinai, and Israel had also been organized into a worshiping community. Now God gives Israel its order of march, and Israel is now an army going in to conquer the promised land. Here, as I say, is the church militant. In this first section of the book of Numbers, we find Israel organized, and then we find the Levites also given their duties to carry the tabernacle, to erect the tabernacle, and to tear down the tabernacle and carry it to the next station. And the Levites are dedicated. And finally, in chapter 9 of Numbers, we find that the people celebrate the Passover. Chapter 9, verses 1 and following. Thus the Lord spoke to Moses in the wilderness of Sinai in the first month of the second year after they had come out of the land of Egypt, saying, Now let the sons of Israel observe the Passover at its appointed time. So Israel had been at Sinai for a year, and now celebrating its first Passover as a redeemed people at the foot of Sinai, they are prepared to march and to go forward to conquer the promised land. And so we have chapters 1 into chapter 10. The people are camped at Sinai. Then they travel to Kadesh Barnea. Chapter 10, verse 11 into chapter 12. In chapter 10 and verse 11 we read, Now in the second year, in the second month, on the 20th of the month, the cloud was lifted from over the tabernacle of the testimony, and the sons of Israel set out on their journey from the wilderness of Sinai. Then the cloud settled down in the wilderness of Paran. And then in verses 33 through 36, which I've given to you as the key verses of the book of Numbers, we read, Thus they set out from the mount of the Lord 3 days' journey, with the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord journeying in front of them for the 3 days, to seek out a resting place for them. The cloud of the Lord was over them by day, when they set out from the camp. Then it came about, when the Ark set out, that Moses said, Rise up, O Lord, and let your enemies be scattered, and let those who hate you flee before you. When it came to rest, he said, Return, O Lord, to the myriad thousands of Israel. And so Israel went forward, marching as the army of God, the church militant, into the wilderness into which God was taking them, and their hope was to enter the promised land and conquer that promised land for their resting place. And on their travels, the first thing that happens is that the people grumble. Chapter 11 and verses 1 and following. Now the people became like those who complain of the adversary, of adversity in the hearing of the Lord. And when the Lord heard it, his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed some of the outskirts of the camp. The people therefore cried out to Moses, and Moses prayed to the Lord, and the fire died out. So the name of the place was called Taberah, because the fire of the Lord burned among them. The rabble who were among them had greedy desires, and also the sons of Israel wept again and said, "Who will give us meat to eat?" It is quite obvious that they did not trust the Lord in their travel. But in verse 31 of chapter 11, it says, "Now there went forth a wind from the Lord, and it brought quail from the sea, and let them fall beside the camp about a day's journey on this side, and a day's journey on the other side, all around the camp, and about 2 cubits deep on the surface of the ground." A cubit is a foot and a half, and about a foot and a half deep, the quail fell around the camp. Who indeed would give the people meat? God was giving them meat, and God was faithful to them. And so, on their travels, the people come to the wilderness of Paran and the area of Kadesh Barnea. They travel to Kadesh, chapter 10, verse 11, and chapter 12, and verse 16. And verse 16 of chapter 12 says, "Afterward, however, the people moved from Hazeroth and camped in the wilderness of Paran." And so they come to the area of Kadesh Barnea. The Sinai Peninsula is a triangle. And on the eastern side of the Sinai Peninsula, we find the Red Sea. And on the western side of the Sinai Peninsula, we find the Gulf of Aqaba. And at the bottom of the peninsula, we find Mount Sinai. And then up towards the northwest is the wilderness of Paran and the area of Kadesh Barnea. And this is where the children of Israel go. And the first thing that happens when they come to Kadesh Barnea is that Moses sends out the spies into the promised land. But the spies, when they come back, give a bad report. And in chapter 13, verse 32, it reads, "So they gave out to the sons of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, 'The land through which we have gone is, in spying it out, is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in it are men of great size. There also we saw the Nephilim, the sons of Anak, who are part of the Nephilim, and we became like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight.' Then all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. All the sons of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, 'Would that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would that we had died in the wilderness. Why is the Lord bringing us into this land to fall by the sword? Our wives and our little ones will become plunder. Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt?' So they said to one another, 'Let us appoint a leader and return to Egypt.' And so the people rebelled against Moses and against Aaron." But this wasn't the end of it. In chapter 16, we read of the rebellion of Korah. Listen to Numbers 16, 1 and following. Now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, the son of Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and On, the son of Peleth, sons of Reuben, took action, and they rose up before Moses, together with some of the sons of Israel. 250 leaders of the congregation, chosen in the assembly, men of renown. They assembled together against Moses and Aaron and said to them, "You have gone far enough, for all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is in the midst. So why do you exalt yourselves above the assembly of the Lord?" They did not have regard for the fact that God appointed Moses as their leader. And what happened in the rebellion of Korah? Just turn the page to Numbers 16 and verses 31 and following. As he finished speaking all these words, the ground that was under them split open, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them up and their households and all the men who belonged to Korah with their possessions. So they all that belonged to Korah went down alive to Sheol, and the earth closed over them, and they perished from the midst of the assembly. The earth swallowed them up in judgment, and they were lost. And the reaction of the congregation, verse 41 says, "But on the next day all the congregation of the sons of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron, saying, 'You are the ones who have caused the death of the Lord's people.'" They still did not submit to the leadership of Moses and to the leadership of their God. And then finally, toward the end of this period in Kadesh, in Numbers chapter 20, we find the people again grumbling against Moses and wondering where they would get water. And Moses, for a second time, brings water from the rock. Numbers chapter 20 and verse 8, God says to Moses, "Take the rod, you and your brother Aaron. Assemble the congregation and speak to the rock before their eyes, that it may yield its water. You shall thus bring forth water for them out of the rock, and let the congregation and their beasts drink." So Moses took the rod from before the Lord, just as he had commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly before the rock. And he said to them, "Listen now, you rebels, shall we bring forth water for you out of this rock?" Then Moses lifted up his hand and struck the rock twice with his rod, and water came forth abundantly, and the congregation and their beasts drank. But the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "Because you have not believed me to treat me as holy in the sight of the sons of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I have given them." And so Moses is forbidden to enter the promised land. And so the time at Kadesh Barnea ends, and the people of Israel now travel from Kadesh to Moab, and they do so by way of Edom. In Numbers chapter 20 and verses 22 and 23, we read, "Now when they had set out from Kadesh, the sons of Israel, the whole congregation, came to Mount Hor." Mount Hor was by the border of the land of Edom. And so they came to the edge of Edom. And it's here, as they travel to Moab and come to the edge of the land of Edom, that Aaron dies. Verse 29 in chapter 20, "When all the congregation saw that Aaron had died, all the house of Israel wept for Aaron 30 days. And so here we are now traveling to Moab, and Aaron dies, and the next significant event is the people again grumbling against Moses. Chapter 21 and verse 5, the people spoke against God and Moses, "Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and we loathe this miserable food." The Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people. So many of the people of Israel died. So the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned because we have spoken against the Lord and you. Intercede with the Lord that he may remove the serpents from us." And Moses interceded for the people. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Make fiery serpents and set it up. Make a fiery serpent and set it up on a standard. And it shall come about that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, he will live." And Moses made a bronze serpent and set it on the standard. And it came about that if a serpent bit any man, when he looked to the bronze serpent, he lived. And of course you recall that Jesus reminded the people of his day that he himself would be lifted up just as the serpent in the wilderness was lifted up. And this was a call for the people to look at Jesus and live. And so the travel of the people to Moab comes to an end with this incident. And in chapter 22 and verses 1 and 2, we read the following, or I should say just verse 1. "Then the sons of Israel journeyed and camped in the plain of Moab beyond the Jordan opposite Jericho." And so now the people arrive in Moab opposite Jericho. Notice the pattern here. Camped at Sinai, traveled to Kadesh. Camped at Kadesh, traveled to Moab, camped at Moab. And what happens here in Moab? Well, Balak, the king of Moab, is very upset about the myriads of the children of Israel on his doorstep. And he calls for the prophet Balaam to come and prophesy against Israel. But four times Balaam does not prophesy against Israel, but prophesies under the hand of God in favor of Israel. And in chapter 24 and verse 17, we find a very significant piece of Balaam's prophecy. "I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come forth from Jacob, a scepter shall rise from Israel, and shall crush through the forehead of Moab, and tear down all the sons of Sheth." And so Balaam prophesies about a star arising in Israel, and a king, a scepter, a strong scepter arising in Israel. It's quite possible that the three wise men came from the same area as Balaam and knew of the prophecy of Balaam. And when they saw the star arise, they recognized that it was the star prophesied by Balaam. And so they went to Jerusalem to seek out the king of Israel. And so now the people of Israel are in Moab, and they have been affirmed in their travels by the prophet Balaam. But again, they fall into sin. Chapter 25, "While Israel remained at Shittim, the people began to play the harlot with the daughters of Moab, for they invited the people to sacrifice of their gods, and the people ate and bowed down to their gods. So Israel joined themselves to Baal of Peor. And the Lord was angry against Israel. And the Lord said to Moses, 'Take the leaders of the people and execute them in broad daylight before the Lord, so that the fierce anger of the Lord may turn away from Israel. So Moses said to the judges of Israel, "Each of you slay his men who have joined themselves to Baal of Peor." And verse 9 says, "Those who died by the plague were 24,000. And so it was that the people sinned. And then in Numbers chapter 26, we find that God again orders a census. At the beginning of the journey, a census is taken. And now at the end of the journey, a census is taken. Verse 2 in chapter 26, "Take a census of all the congregations of the sons of Israel, from 20 years old and upward, by their fathers' households, whoever is able to go out to war in Israel." Again, the church militant is recognized. But then look, if you have your Bible, at the end of chapter 26, verses 63 and following. "These are those who were numbered by Moses and Eleazar the priest." Aaron had died. "Eleazar the priest, who numbered the sons of Israel in the plains of Moab by the Jordan at Jericho. But among these, there was not a man of those who were numbered by Moses and Aaron the priest, who had numbered the sons of Israel in the wilderness of Sinai. For the Lord had said to them, 'They shall surely die in the wilderness.' And not a man was left of them except Caleb the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun." The first generation has died in the wilderness. And now the second generation is prepared to enter the promised land. In chapter 33 of Numbers, there is a review of the travel of Israel. Chapter 33, verse 1. "These are the journeys of the sons of Israel, by which they came out of the land of Egypt, by their armies, under the leadership of Moses and Aaron." Verse 5. "The sons of Israel journeyed from Ramses in Egypt." And skipping then down to verses 14 and 15, "They journeyed from Alush and camped at Rephidim. Now it was there that the people had no water to drink." This is prior to their coming to Sinai. And in Exodus 17, we read how Moses, for the first time, brought water from the rock. "They journeyed from Rephidim and camped in the wilderness of Sinai." And so, the first part of Numbers finds the people at Sinai. Dropping down to verse 36, "They journeyed from Etzion-Geber and camped in the wilderness of Zin, that is, Kadesh. They journeyed from Kadesh and camped at Mount Hor on the edge of the land of Edom. Then Aaron the priest went up to Mount Hor at the command of the Lord and died there in the 40th year after the sons of Israel had come from the land of Egypt on the first day of the fifth month." And so they come to Moab by way of Edom, and Aaron dies. And then we read in verses 49 and 50 of Numbers 34, "They camped by the Jordan from Beth Jeshomoth as far as Abel Shittim in the plains of Moab. Then the Lord spoke to Moses in the plains of Moab by the Jordan opposite Jericho." And so the journey brings them to the plains of Moab. What does all this mean? What does all this journey in the wilderness mean? As you can see, I refer to Paul's comments in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 13. I'll not read all of these verses, but point out sections of this passage to you. For example, in verse 7, Paul says, "Do not be idolaters, as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and stood up to play." Paul references Aaron and his constructing the idol, the golden calf, which the people worshipped. Verse 8, nor let us act immorally as some of them did, and 23,000 of them fell in one day. The adultery, both physical and spiritual, at Baal Peor. Nor let us try the Lord as some of them did, and were destroyed by serpents. Yes, the plague of the fiery serpents, and many people died. Nor grumble as some of them did, and were destroyed by the destroyer. Paul no doubt has here the rebellion of Korah in mind. Now, Paul tells us why these things happened. Why this travel in the wilderness and this rebellion. Verse 6 in 1 Corinthians 10. Now these things happened as examples for us, so that we would not crave evil things as they also craved. And verse 11. Now these things happened to them as an example, and they were written for our instruction, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. These things happened to ancient Israel to instruct us in this present age, the age in which Jesus Christ has come. He died and rose again and sits on the throne of the majesty on high. And Paul tells us that it's for our benefit that these things happened to the people of Israel. And we need to take care and learn from how the people lived in the wilderness as the church militant, and learn how we ought to live in the wilderness of this life as the church militant. Verse 13 is in this same context, a familiar text. No test has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tested beyond what you are able, but with the test will provide the outcome also, so that you will be able to endure it. Yes, I've given you my translation of 1 Corinthians 10:13. The people were being tested, and we are being tested. We are the church militant living in the wilderness today. And we must learn from how the people lived in the wilderness in those ancient times, so that we do not fall and fail as they did. We must bear up under trial and look to Jesus Christ and learn how to live as the church militant in the wilderness of this present day. This is the lesson. This is the purpose of Numbers, and this is the lesson that God has for you and for me from the book of Numbers. Learn to live as the church militant in the wilderness of this life. Look back at the children of Israel and learn from their example.